to old business. Have a few of those this evening. Our first item of old business is conditional use number 2341, Caden Opplinger.
Mr. Chairman, I move we recommend approval of conditional use 2341 for Caden Opplinger for a farm tractor and repair business based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the proposed repair facility is small, and with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it, it will not have an adverse impact on the neighboring properties or community. It is also small enough that it will not negatively impact traffic or nearby roadways. Two, the location is mostly surrounded by farms and other large tracts of land. The applicant lives behind the site and his grandfather lives next door. The applicant stated that none of the neighbors oppose his plans. Three, the proposed use provides a service to Sussex County farmers and small businesses in the area by providing a convenient location for diesel repair services for trucks and agricultural equipment. Four, the applicant proposes to use a 60-foot by 80-foot building for the business. This use within the proposed workshop building is very similar to the type of repair and maintenance work that a farmer would be permitted to do on his or her farm equipment under the existing AR1 zoning. Five, no parties appeared in opposition of this application. Six, the applicant seeks a conditional use for the entire 20-acre parcel. The applicant has stated that he only needs a conditional use for the front portion of the property where the proposed use will actually be located. As a result, this recommendation is to approve the conditional use for the entire front 350 feet of the property, which extends beyond the proposed workshop building with enough extra space for reasonable expansion and setbacks. Seven, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. A, the use shall be limited to repairs on trucks and farm equipment. There shall not be any retail sales occurring on the property. B, the use shall be limited to the front 350 feet of the property. The final site plan shall clearly depict this reduced area of the conditional use. C, one lighted sign shall be permitted. It shall not be larger than 32 square feet per side. D, security lighting shall be shielded and downward screened so that it is directed away from neighboring properties and roadways. E, any dumpsters shall be screened from view of neighbors and roadways. The dumpster's location shall be shown on the final site plan. F, all repairs shall occur indoors within the proposed building. No outside storage of parts or other materials associated with the use shall be permitted. G, no junked, unregistered, or permanently inoperable vehicles, trucks, or trailers shall be stored on the site. H, there shall not be any parking in the front yard setback. I, the parking areas shall be shown on the final site plan and clearly marked on the site itself. Trucks and farm equipment shall only be parked within these designated areas. J, all oils and other fluids shall be properly stored indoors in appropriate containers. The applicant shall also comply with all state and federal requirements for the disposal of these fluids. K, the site shall be subject to DLDOT entrance and roadway requirements. L, any violation of these conditions may be grounds for termination of this conditional use. M, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Mr. Chairman, that's my motion.
Second that, enthusiastically. I just love this idea.
Been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2341, Caden Opplinger, for the reasons and with the stipulations stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Oh, wait a minute.
Roll call.
Roll call. Sorry about that. Pardon me. Roll call. Zoe Stevenson, how do you vote?
I vote yes for the conditions for the made in the motion.
Okay, Mr. Hopkins.
I vote yes for the conditions and stipulations in the motion.
Mr. Mears.
I vote yes for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Okay, and the chair votes yes for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion. Motion carries 4-0. Our next item is change of zone number 1933, Route 54 Limited Partnership.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of change of zone 1933 for Route 54 Limited Partnership for a change in zone from AR1 Agricultural Residential Zoning to C2 Medium Commercial Zoning, based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, C2 Medium Commercial Zoning is designed to support retail sales and the performance of consumer services. It is intended to be located near arterial and collector roads. Two, the applicant's property is located along Lighthouse Road, also known as Route 54. It is surrounded by other properties that are zoned C1 General Commercial. This rezoning makes one connected block of commercial zoning in this area of Lighthouse Road. Three, C2 zoning at this location in the middle of the existing C1 zoning along Lighthouse Road will benefit nearby residents and visitors of Sussex County by providing a convenient location for retail uses or consumer services. Four, there is no evidence that this rezoning will have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or area roadways. Five, this site is in the coastal area according to the Sussex County Land Use Plan and future land use map. This is an appropriate location for C2 zoning according to the plan. Six, no parties appeared in opposition to the rezoning of this application. Seven, the proposed rezoning meets the general purpose of the zoning code by promoting the orderly growth, convenience, orderly prosperity, and welfare of the county. Eight, any further use of the property shall be subject to site plan review by the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. Mr. Chairman, that's my motion.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to recommend approval of change of zone number 1933, Route 54 Limited Partnership, for the reasons and with conditions stated in the motion. Ms. Hoy Stevenson, how do you vote?
I vote yes for the reasons stated in the motion.
Okay, Mr. Hopkins.
I vote yes for the reasons stated in the motion.
Mr. Mears.
I vote yes for the reasons stated in my motion.
Okay, the chair votes yes for the reasons and with conditions stated in the motion. The motion carries 4-0. Thank you. Our next item is a change of zone number 1934, Bunting Holdings LLC.
Mr. Chairman, I move we recommend approval of change of zone number 1934 for Bunting's Holdings LLC for a change in zone from AR1 agricultural zoning to C2 commercial zoning, based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, C2 medium commercial zoning is designated to support retail sales and the performance of consumer services. It is intended to be located near arterial and collector roads. Two, the applicant's property is landlocked immediately west of property fronting Lighthouse Road, which is Route 54, with the exception of the property that is subject to change of zone 1933 for C2 zoning. All of the property in this area along Lighthouse Road is zoned commercial. This rezoning is consistent with the existing zoning in the area. This property only access via the property that is subject to change of zone 1933, which is under the same ownership or control at this property. As a result, it is appropriate for both properties to be uniformly zoned as C2. For C2 zoning at this location along a Lighthouse Road will benefit nearby residents of Sussex County by providing a convenient location for retail uses or consumer services. Five, there is no evidence this rezoning will have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or roadways. Six, this site is in the coastal area according to the Sussex County Land Use Plan and future land use map. This is an appropriate location for C2 zoning according to the plan. Seven, no parties appeared in opposition to the application. Eight, the proposed rezoning meets the general purpose of the zoning code by promoting the orderly growth, convenience, order, prosperity, and wealth of the county. Nine, any future use of this property will be subject to site plan review by the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. That's my motion.
Second.
Moved and seconded to recommend approval of change of zone number 1934, Bunting Holdings LLC, for the reasons and with the conditions stated in the motion. Ms. Hoy Stevenson, how do you vote?
I vote yes for the reasons stated in the motion.
Okay, Mr. Hopkins.
I vote yes for the reasons stated in the motion.
Mr. Mears?
I vote yes for the reasons stated in my motion.
Okay, and the chair votes yes for the reasons and with the conditions stated in the motion. The motion carries 4-0. Thank you. Our next item is change of zone number 1980, MARS RE LLC.
Mr. Chairman, I move we recommend approval of change of zone 1980 for MARS RE LLC for a change of zone from AR1 to C3 heavy commercial based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, C3 heavy commercial zoning is designed to allow auto-oriented retail and service businesses that serve local and regional residents. Permitted uses include restaurants, office, and vehicle service stations. Two, this property is located along Route 26, which is considered to be a major collector roadway according to DLDOT's roadway classification. Major collector roads are appropriate locations for C3 zoning. Three, this parcel is in a section of Route 26 where there are commercial zones and businesses and commercial uses that have developed. This includes six commercial rezonings in the area since 2011. This location along this part of Route 26 for this type of zoning, and it will not adversely affect the neighboring properties. Four, the site is served by central water and sewer. Five, the property is located in the coastal area according to the current Sussex County land use plan. This proposed commercial zoning is appropriate in this area according to the plan. Six, C3 zoning at this location along Route 26 will provide convenient commercial services to the visitors and residents of Sussex County. Seven, the proposed rezoning meets the general purpose of the zoning code by promoting orderly growth, convenience, order, prosperity, and welfare of the county. Eight, no parties appeared in opposition to the rezoning. Nine, any future use of this property will be subject to site plan review by the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. That's my motion, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of change of zone number 1980, MARS RE LLC, for the reasons and with conditions stated in the motion. Ms. Hoey Stevenson, how do you vote?
I vote yes for the reasons stated in the motion.
Okay, Mr. Hopkins?
Yes, for the reasons stated in the motion.
Okay, Mr. Mears?
Yes, for my reasons in the motion.
Okay, the chair votes yes for the reasons and with conditions stated in the motion. The motion carries 4-0. Thank you. Our next item is change of zone number 1956, Jeffrey Bainey.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend denial of change in zone number 1956 for Jeffrey Bainey for a change in zone from AR1 agricultural residential zoning to C2 medium commercial zoning based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, C2 medium commercial zoning is designed to support retail sales and the performance of consumer services. It is intended to be located near arterial and collector roads. Two, the applicant currently operates a permitted indoor shooting range at this location and desires to convert the zoning of the property to C2. The C2 zoning is not necessary to continue the existing use as an indoor shooting range. Three, there is no other commercial zoning in the area and the property is surrounded on one side by residential lots and on the other side by farmland. This would be an improper standalone commercially zoned site in an area where no other business or commercial zoning exists. Four, because the rezoning to C2 is not consistent with the neighboring and adjacent low-intensity land uses, it would have an adverse impact upon the area. Five, if this property is rezoned to C2, any of the uses that are permitted within the C2 district could occur at this site, in addition to the current use as an indoor shooting range. C2 zoning and many of the uses permitted in that zone are not appropriate in this location. Six, the site is in the low density area according to Sussex County land use plan and future land use map. The land use plan states that the low density area should be the location where the primary uses are agricultural activities and homes. The applicant has not established that the proposed rezoning is consistent with the comprehensive plan's low density area designation for this property. Seven, the application seeks to rezone the entire 10.546 acre property to C2. When only the front area of the property is currently developed with the indoor shooting range. Rezoning the entire property to C2 is speculative and there is no basis in the record for doing so. This is particularly the case when there is no other commercial zoning in the area. 8, the proposed rezoning does not meet the general purpose of the zoning code by promoting the orderly growth, convenience, order, prosperity, and welfare of the county. And 9, for all these reasons, the rezoning from AR1 to C2 for this property should be denied.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to recommend denial of change of zone number 1956, Jeffrey Bainey, for the reasons stated in the motion. Ms. Hoy Stevenson, how do you vote?
I vote yes for the reasons in the motion.
Mr. Hopkins?
Yes means denial.
Correct.
I vote yes for the reasons stated in the motion.
Okay, Mr. Mears?
I vote yes for the reasons stated in the motion.
Okay, and the chair votes yes for the reasons stated in the motion. The motion carries 4-0. Thank you. Okay, our next item is an ordinance to amend the code of Sussex County, Chapter 72, Article 2, Sections 72-16 through 72-28, and Chapter 115, Articles 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, Sections 115-20, 115-25, 115-29, 115-34, 115-37, 115-42, 115-45, 115-50, 115-53, and 115-58 regarding affordable priced rental units in the Sussex County Rental Unit SCRP program. And this is just to announce the receipt of additional written comments and to close the record. That's all we need this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I mean, the Commission may remember this from the public hearing that was held on April 28th, where the Commission left the record open. Just to confirm for the record that there are 7 additional documents and responses that have been received. They have been circulated in your paperless packets, although you may see in front of you there's some additional paper-printed documents that were received after publication of the paperless packet. They provide interesting technical and numerical input. I don't propose to read all of them today. Some of them are very technical. But one document in particular is this report you've received from Century Engineering. And just to provide some background to that, Mr. Chairman, there was some discussion during the public hearing previously as to how many parcels countywide could potentially, from a numerical point of view, benefit from this potential ordinance. And we asked Century Engineering to perform a countywide analysis for us, and most of the document outlines the methodology they employed in this analysis. And staff were able to share with them our data so that they were using real-time data provided from the Planning and Zoning Department. If I just draw your attention to the very bottom of the second page, Mr. Chairman, that the total number of parcels that meet the criteria established as part of the analysis is over 2,500 parcels. It's 2,521 parcels. But if you look at those parcels that are greater than 1 acre, and the reason the 1 acre threshold was selected is that the ordinance includes a buffering requirement, so we excluded parcels of less than 1 acre. So it yielded 612 potential parcels out there countywide that fulfill the requirements of the ordinance. And then of those 612 acres, we asked Century Engineering to give us the total acreage. And I believe this question came up during the public hearing, is what's the total area countywide? And it's 6,291 acres within those 612 parcels. So hopefully staff were able to assist in answering that question. In addition to that, Mr. Chairman, staff were able, should the Commission's discussion touch upon this subject, we wanted to not only have the slides that we prepared and presented as part of the public hearing available, but staff also wanted to talk about other multifamily housing examples in the county. If the Commission wished staff to do so, we could just very quickly go through, and this is very similar to the presentation that staff gave Council prior to the introduction of the ordinance, but we were specifically looking at some examples of multifamily housing. Now, not all of these include affordable or moderately priced income units in the county's program, but these are examples of one, the number of stories, the number of units, but also the amount of open space. And actually, I don't believe I'm going to be able to show the open space without exiting it because it's hidden on the screen. But I can actually, that's better. So you can see Beach Plum Dunes, for example, has a density of approximately 3.25 dwelling units to the acre, is 144 units. But staff wanted to draw attention to the open space, that this is physically capable of being achieved right now in existing projects that have been built or are being built. And the next example.
Just real quick, before you go back to that, there's a couple variables in this. So keep in mind with the proposed, and let me back up. This wasn't anything new that staff developed. You know, you guys are somewhat, seeing this for the first time, council's been talking about this for a while, and this is information that staff had going into the council presentations. We just didn't have it up the last time around. But there's some differences. For example, this one's 42 feet tall for beech plum. The ordinance proposes 52 feet, so there'd be another story, that would increase ability to have more affordable units and greater density. Same thing, the threshold for open space in the ordinance is 50%. This one's actually 89%, which is a really high number. So, you know, although it shows 4 units an acre, its density on this one, there's another story, and then what would that be? I guess almost 40% of the space or the property available for additional projects. Actually, oh, never mind. I don't want to say that. It's a different project. So anyway, thank you, Mr.
Sure. Yeah, thank you. And we had other examples to share. Well, we don't have many of these, Mr. Chairman, but we thought Coastal Tide, which you also saw earlier on the agenda this evening, is a project with 168 units on 18.33 acres. And it was the open space we wanted to draw attention to, that this project was able to deliver over 63% open space with a density of less than 12 dwelling units to the acre, 9.17 dwelling units to the acre, approximately. And again, as Mr. Robertson pointed out, this is compliant with the 42 feet maximum building height, and it shows the variety. If you look at some of the examples, if I jump to here's a different photo of the same project, and then jumping to the next one, Western Willows, it again is a 3-story building complying with the 42 foot maximum building height, 287 units with a density of approximately 10.65 dwelling units to the acre, achieving less open space, but 48% open space was deliverable out of this project. And then finally, I think there's just one more example. That's another photo of Western Willows, Mr. Chairman. And then the final example is Sea Glass, which was under construction at the time of this photo. It's slightly different design, a 4-story building with a flat roof design, also complies with a 42-foot building height requirement for 224 units on 18.75 acres for an approximate density of 11.94. But it goes to show that the even at below 12 dwelling units to the acre, the percentages of open space that are deliverable are in the region of 50% or more. So we don't have that assist your discussion, but we wanted to have it handy in case the discussion.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
So now we're open for discussion.
We are open for discussion. I would suggest to the commission that since we don't have a full commission this evening and there's no real pressure for us to vote on it tonight, we don't necessarily have to, but it's up to you.
Just wait and have discussion when?
I think it would be good if all 5 commissioners had the opportunity to vote. But if Mr. Hopkins, if you want to discuss something, you're welcome to do that.
Maybe or just ask some questions. This is like trying to take a drink from a fire hydrant from between last week and this week. I mean, it's all good information. But it's such a big problem right now. This workforce housing, when half of our county workers, or not just workers, I think the report showed back when the evaluation was done by LSA, the total workers in the county, I think it was 80,000. Does that sound right? About 80,000.
I don't want to say without going back and verifying it.
No, and about half of those folks are, the average median income at the time was about $50,000 a year per worker. So if there's 2 people living in the house, it could be maybe a little bit more than that. We're trying to find folks jobs so that they can be serving in all the different capacities that we need, hospitals and every capacity. So it's a huge problem, and it would be, I wish that some of us could have had the opportunity to have sat in on or been involved in some workshops, so that we could come up with multiple solutions. I see this as like one solution, but I just think we need to try to be unfolding 10 or 12 or 15 different solutions like this one. This one is pretty much concentrated where the highest dollar value of land is. I mean, the bulk of it is in the coastal area. So, you know, and the evaluation talked about like three or four different analyses that they made, starting with like, you know, the Route 13, the 113, and then, you know, coming on across. And even that, you know, it really only made sense over on the shore, like, you know, in this area that you're talking about. So in order to apply this, so maybe this is okay for the coastal area, or the three categories that is in the ordinance. But we need some, as we move, we also need workforce housing over like in the Georgetown area and beyond. And in order for those numbers to work, it goes back to, you know, I kept driving this whole, you know, is it 12, is it 17? I mean, we might have to be 20, but to try to figure that out on a Thursday night in, you know, in just a few minutes, is a lot for us to do. You know, as I read through the ordinance amendment, because it's an amendment to an ordinance that was originally written in 08 and then amended in 16, and as we talked, you know, during the last meeting, nobody really ever took up on it. You know, the county, like you say, county council's been involved in this for, you know, these last 2.5 years since the evaluation was written. But it's taken 2.5 years. I counted the items that were deleted, or the lines, topics that were deleted and added, and there was like 20. There's like 26 different things that were deleted, and 16 that were added, and I mean, to take 2.5 years to do that, it's.
Well, I can answer that. First of all, we had COVID in those 2.5 years, so everything kind of stopped for a while. I mean, we didn't even have county meetings. We couldn't meet in person to do that. What we also did was analyzed, during that 2.5 years, the Coastal Tide Project was coming online. And so there was real-time education about the SCRP program and how it was working and how it wasn't working. So we utilized the information we learned from going through that real-time project to see what we could do to fix the Chapter 72 stuff. And then, you know, the other thing is we looked at and spent a lot of time looking at the LSA report, and then also tried to figure out a project, as I said, well, actually once we got going again, because after the COVID shutdown, to make sure we'd come up with a product that was in fact workable, you know, with the height, area, and bulk requirements that we were placing on it, and looking at the map. I mean, I point that out. I don't want you to think that there was a delay because there was only a few lines that were changed. This was a pretty heavy lift based on LSA's report.
Yeah, and I think it's going to work in those high dollar areas. I think developers will be motivated to go from what they can currently build, you know, to the acre, but really by the time you do all the bulk requirements, the average is 1.5 or 1.3. So now they're going to be able to jump up there to 12, and I'm fine with that, because at least we're going to get 30% in those areas. I'm concerned that we can have another option as well as we move further west, because the LSA evaluation, the way I read it, it's saying the further west you go, it's you got to have a higher density in order to make it work. So, and I just think I think we have to get our heads. I feel like we have to take it seriously. And I think this is fine. It's taken 2.5 years, but I think it's you know, like somebody said, putting a Band-Aid on a 6-inch wound. We just need to do more, and I think we can do better. I think that's really what it boils down to. I think we're
going to have to, and I'll just to expound a little bit on what you're saying about the difference between east and west, but I want to talk about that for a second. But I do want to say that I don't think this is intended to be the end. This is intended to be the beginning. This is the first small piece of a very big pie that we have to put together, and you're right about that, and hopefully we'll be able to move along much more expeditiously than we have. But here's the thing, apartments, as an example, or houses for that matter, no matter what it is, it costs the same to build an apartment in Seaford as it does in Rehoboth. So if you're a developer, what's the variable cost? The variable cost is always going to be the land, okay? So the whole thing is the construction costs the same in either place. So you're right, because the land numbers are not going to come down to the point that there's going to be a big disparity because the construction cost is fixed. So in order to get, you know, more reasonable rents in areas that are less desirable, you're right, we may have to consider either additional incentive, you know, on the west side of the county. And these are things that need to be looked at. So when we get to the point of talking about specifics, I'm still wondering about the 50-foot setback versus a 100 and 50% versus 30% on open space. But I mean, I see now that 50% is achievable. I'm worried about that, and I'm still a little concerned about it when it comes down to talking about it. But assuming that we defer action, that's going to give us at least a couple more weeks to digest. As you said, we've just been presented some new information. We need some time to look at that. But I'm 100% agree with you that we need to advance this whole issue as quickly as we can.
Right, and people don't just want to rent; they want to own.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. This only addresses one little piece of it. How do we deal with that?
Right. But I mean, it's been 2.5 years. LSA, half of what their evaluation was talking about was rental. The other half was home ownership.
Right.
And I think we can do better on that. I think we have to do better.
You're right.
Now,
I think there's not a thing we can do about the 2.5 years that are gone. But from this point forward,
we need a plan.
We need to be working on it.
So, Mr. Whitehouse, when you were saying earlier about the 600, if you can go over these numbers with me again, you said that they evaluated as small as 1 acre, but then the 612 parcels, was that all the way down to 1 acre, or were they larger?
So of the study, I won't go through all the methodology and how they identified the area. They just took the ordinance and said what areas in the county.
But that's in the report, the methodology.
Correct. So they actually identified 2,521 parcels that are involved. There's actually a bit of math on how do you count parcels that are partially in, and we actually came up with a methodology on using the center. The center of the parcel has to touch this boundary to be counted. But then of those 2,521 parcels, we just counted those that have an area greater than 1 acre. And that was because of the buffering requirement. So we focused on the 612 that are more than 1 acre, because if you think about that buffering requirement, you need some area to achieve that. And then of those 612, we calculated the total area as being 6,291 acres.
So the basis was just anything larger than an acre, but can you achieve this type of housing on just something more than an acre? I thought we decided it. The average size was going to be like 10 acres or something like that. Is that wrong?
Correct. So we modeled on 10 acres, and the model we gave you was 30 acres as well. So we wanted to exclude anything of less than an acre, because it's...
Why not? I'm just, if the basis that we're in order to build something like this is going to take 10 or 30, how many of these 612 parcels that are larger than an acre are actually larger than 10 acres?
That would require more math and more
analysis. Can we have that next time when you come back?
I could absolutely get
that. There should be a distribution of available. The other thing that's important to keep in mind here is a lot of times these projects are done on multiple parcels too, because I'm pretty sure they're counting individual tax parcels, right? So it would be, I would be interested to know too what the distribution is. How many are 1 to 5 acres, 5 to 10, 10 to 20, and 20 and above, maybe, or something like that. Would be interesting to know, just to have the information. We also need to be mindful that a lot of these projects happen because you've got a 4 acre parcel, a 6 acre parcel, and another 6 acre parcel, and you put them together and make however much that is, 16, I think. But you know, make it, and that becomes the parcel of land that you're working with. But that's a point well taken, and that would be good information to have.
Yeah, I mean, and even try to, I mean, this is such a big thing. Maybe we need to pay somebody 8 or 16 hours to put some groups together and say, you know, of the what ends up being X, you know, maybe it's 300 or 200 or whatever it is.
Well, you can group these.
You want to see where it is? I mean, is that what you're asking?
Well, because like what is?
I bet
what,
you everybody is, in this audience would love to know
the possibility. The possibility that you could group these three parcels together and get 10 or 30 acres.
I don't know that I want to do that because then you're getting parcel specific and you're almost prejudging something. Yeah, this ordinance needs to be looked at.
I agree.
And let's not let
straight up how many are greater than 10 or like you said,
it would be interesting to have that distribution.
What you were trying to figure out here.
I would prefer to not see this held up too much longer. I don't see any problem moving ahead with this, but again, what often happens, and I think this is what is concerning Mr. Hopkins and me, is that we do something like this, we congratulate ourselves, and then everybody for doing something for affordable housing, then everybody goes back to sleep. That's not what we want to do. We want this to be the first step and then get on to the next step right now.
So the way that Mr. Wheatley explained, does that work for you?
Sure. I can
5 to 10, 10 to 20. Mm-hmm.
I can get up in the next meeting. That shouldn't take too long.
Or 1 to 5, 5 to 10, 10 to 20, 20 and over. Yeah. How about that? So,
and if the commission could leave the record open for staff to supply that.
Yeah. Why don't we just defer action, leaving the record open? Would that be the thing to do?
I think so, yes.
Okay. Mr. Hopkins, you
want to? The change I make is if you do 10, 20 instead of 20 and up, do 20 to 30 and 30 and up.
All right. That's fine.
That's all. You probably already have that You just might be sorting your spreadsheet.
Yep. Maybe.
Is it? I don't want you taking all week doing this.
It's getting farmed out to their consulting engineer.
Okay.
Remember when Mr. Hopkins said, let's just have somebody spend 20, 50,
yeah.
10 or 20.
Whatever
it
takes.
Trust me, they've got that person all lined up, and they'd be tickled to death to spend 10 or 20 hours at $180 an hour. So, yeah. Okay. Mr. Hopkins, do you want to make that motion?
Yeah.
To hold the record open.
Defer action, holding the record open to receive additional information requested from the staff.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to defer action on the ordinance to amend the code of Sussex County, Chapter 72, et cetera, and holding the record open to receive the additional information that was requested by the commission. Ms. Hoey Stevenson, how do you vote?
I vote yes, because it sounds like reasonable information to get.
Mr. Hopkins?
Yes.
Mr. Mears?
Yes.
Chair votes yes. Motion carries 4-0. Thank you very much.